at a time of great sexual repression was particularly shocking. The two things added together were really quite revolutionary, making psychology certainly far more central to middle class life in the 20th century than I think perhaps even he realized would be the case. Both of these things, Darwin and Freud, with Pavlov as well, had the effect of suggesting that human society, human beings, really were quite different than early 19th century philosophy and science would have suggested. And they represented a challenge to the accepted scientific and cultural order that existed in Europe at the end of the 19th century. Even in the physical sciences, an area where one would have thought that certain fundamentals would remain in place. Even in physics, one saw also a challenge to this this accepted notion of stability, of predictability in human affairs and in the scientific, in the natural world. In the 1890s, a series of mathematical discoveries fundamentally altered the established scientific understanding of matter and of energy. Experiments by the French scientists Antoine-Henri Becquerel, Pierre and Marie Curie, the German Max Planck, and the Englishman J.J. Thomson and Lord Rutherford changed the way scientists conceived of radioactivity and the atom, the very essential components, basic components, of all life and matter in the universe. And in papers published in 1905 and then a decade later in 1916, Albert Einstein presented his revolutionary theory of relativity, propounding the notion that matter could be converted into energy. Einstein's theories, which took years to reach full maturity, with his theory of relativity, suggested that perceptions about the universe, that all of this was quite relative, undermining this very Enlightenment notion of secure predictability and from arising from Newtonian physics. This bundle of ideas, from Darwin to Freud to Einstein, would exert a profound influence not only on science, but on social and cultural values as well. Herbert Spencer, who would do more to popularize Darwin's thought in his work on social Darwinism, is a case in point. Spencer would take Darwinian thought and apply it to the whole realm of human activities. Darwin's ideas had certainly been popularized in the mass press and journals, which tended to emphasize phrases, some of which were not Darwin's, the struggle for existence and so on, which quickly became applied to political and social life. But it would be Herbert Spencer who would contribute the term, always associated with Darwin, but is in fact Spencer's, which is survival of the fittest. It would be Herbert Spencer who would talk about and dilate on the implications of natural selection, struggle for existence, survival of the fittest in a racial sense and in the sense of competing civilizations. Here one sees with Spencer's edition, Spencer's translation of Darwin, it isn't simply that he popularizes Darwin. He takes Darwinian thought, Darwin's observations from the realm of natural science, and applies them to races, to civilizations, to all sorts of phenomena. And in doing so, one sees it contributed mightily to the growing awareness of race in European popular culture at the end of the 19th century. I think this is an important point to emphasize here. We've had occasion to allude to it on a number of occasions. But in the late 19th century, European civilization was absolutely awash in, if not overt racism, what at least Hannah Arendt would call race thinking.